You know, this message I have for you today is not just mine, but it's amazing how God can show me that He is blessing even before I start. I've been praying for a long time that we would see our youth and our young people take a more active role in Redeeming Grace Fellowship. When we first started Redeeming Grace Fellowship, our whole praise and worship team was under the age of 18. But back then we had a little bit of issues going on in the area, and they actually ended up moving away. But then I come in this morning. I walk in the door this morning, and Dave's telling me that the youth are teaching the Sabbath schools this morning. And then I see Olivia up here, who I could hear very well, which is tough with your mom singing with you. And she did a great job. A great job. You did a great job. You don't need to cover up. You did a great job. And then listen to Loretta talk about school and VBS. Is there an excitement in her voice? You know why? Because she works with those young people every day. Yeah, but I think it's because of her environment. What was the first thing the disciples used to say when little kids came close to Jesus? They were trying to push them away, but what did Jesus say? Let them come. Because it's the excitement that they generate. When me and Yvette go see our granddaughters, we become like little kids. We do. I even got blamed by my granddaughter. I don't know if I met, but anyway, but kids bring an excitement to us. You know, Timothy was a young disciple. Did you know that? And he actually got kind of bullied by some of the other disciples because he was younger, because he didn't have the experience of everybody else. So then, it's just amazing how God showed me all through this week, through young people, different things. So then, He knows how to humble me too. I'm a little bit competitive, right, Adam? A little bit. I'm a little bit competitive. I'm not over the top. Well, maybe I have been over the top a few times. So anyway, I come into the game and I'm missing a lot of players. Missing a lot of players Thursday night. But you know what? I says, we're going to do the best we can. In the first game, we won pretty easily, 18-7. I thought, well, that's the way tonight's going to go. But the second game wasn't so easy. But I never lost control, even though inside, I was like, Lord, why are you doing this to me? But I will tell you this. At the plate, I was playing very well. I was 9-for-9. And I come up into this situation with a man on first and second. And the other team was contemplating on whether to walk me because I was 9-for-9 or let me bat. And there's no outs. And I ended up fouling out after being 9-for-9 in that pressure situation where I wanted to get the hit to win the game. And then my brother come up behind me, and he hit this girlish little pop fly to the second baseman. And then the next guy comes up. He had actually been struggling at the plate a little bit that night. But it's amazing how God works, especially when you're praying for stuff like this. Adam comes up to the plate, hits one right up the middle to win the game. Adam pulled it out for us. But you know what I caught in the corner of my eye? Because when the guy crossed home plate, everybody's jumping up and down. I caught out of the corner of my eye, Adam's over with the pitcher. And I don't know for sure because I never asked Adam, I think he's over at the pitcher apologizing because he hit it close to hitting the pitcher. Was that correct? Here he is in a moment of victory, apologizing because of the shot he just hit. God knows how to lift you up and answer prayer in all needs. And then the very next day, I hear about Virginia Beach. And you know, I know I've met some of those people from time to time. I know I met the clerk before because I've had to go there and do utility changes for Dollar Tree. So I know I've met that clerk before. And I'm sure I probably met one or two of the others. But through all this, God is always good. He's going to be a blessing to those people. There will be some changes in their lives because of the loss they have right now. But because of Jesus Christ, there is always tomorrow. So then I started studying a little bit last night. And I didn't study a lot, and I'll tell you why. I actually have a guest speaker today, and it's not Paulo. He's a very good friend of mine. And before he comes up, I just want to read this for him, Olivia, and everybody else that thinks sometimes they can't do a lot. Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young. But set an example for the, set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. You know, our young people go through a lot right now. But I tell you what, they can still show the love of Christ. And you need young people around you because the young people around you keep you young again. You know, I'm getting closer to 60 than I am 50. That's not a good thing. And there's 44 years difference in me and the speaker that's about to come up. 44 years. And you're going to say, well, he doesn't have experience. He doesn't have the, let me tell you what. Ask him a question about a football game. The boy has knowledge. He is smart. Dave's over here shaking his head, no. But he is smart. He's intelligent. And he's a fine young man. And I'm going to invite Christopher Higgins up right now because he's going to share our message this morning. Chris, let's have a word of prayer, and then you get started. Lord, I thank you for Christopher. I thank you for Olivia. I thank you for Adam. I thank you for all the young people of this church. And I just pray that you will be with Christopher right now as he brings forth your message. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
So, how's it going, guys? Good. Today I'm going to be sharing the story of Joseph. Joseph was a young kid. He had 11 brothers. He was one of 11 brothers. His father was Jacob, and he was obviously his father's favorite son because of his mother being Rebecca. Joseph always got special treatment from his father, and his brothers did not like that at all. One day, he got a coat of many colors. His brothers were very mad about that because none of them got any presents that he got. And back then, dye was very expensive, more expensive than it is today. So it was a very special gift. His brothers did not also like that he had dreams of them bowing down to him one day. One day, his brothers decided to take action about it and threw him into a pit, stole his cloak, and put animal blood on it, and told his father that he died. After they told his father that he died, they sold him into slavery. There as a slave, Joseph started to actually do pretty good there. He became Potiphar's head of state, and then it all started to go down. Potiphar's wife basically framed him, and then he got thrown into jail, where there he would interpret other people's dreams. Through that, All the people in the jail loved Joseph and thought he was amazing at interpreting dreams. One day, the Pharaoh had a dream, and none of his wise men could tell him what the dream meant. Then, through the people Joseph interpreted the dreams, for their dreams, he got recommended for Potiphar, or the Pharaoh. The dream was that there would be 7 good years of food, an abundance of food, and there would be 7 years of famine, complete famine. After he interpreted the Pharaoh's dream, he immediately became head of organizing like all of the food and stuff for the 7 years. Through those 7 years, after amazing food, it all went down. There was no food, and many people started dying of hunger and everything. One day, I think it was 11 people came up to Joseph, asking him for food. Turns out those 11 people were his brothers, the ones that sold him into slavery. When Joseph finally found out it was them, instead of being mad at them, he gave them food and had his brothers and his father live with him in Egypt. This just goes to show you how life is very unfair, and even in the worst case scenarios, God is always working in you and his plan will always go for good. Thank you.
Thank you, Christopher. I think you did a great job. I saw a little bit of nerves there, but you did a great job, and we appreciate that. I thought you were going to back up on the pulpit there for a minute, though. But he did a great job. See, our young people, he knew everything about that story, didn't he? And I'm sure Olivia and all the others do, too. We have to be around our young people and let them be a part of this church. We're all one family, correct? Young, old, it doesn't matter. We got to be all part of the same family, and we got to encourage them to be a part of our family. And if we don't, right now, I don't know if you realize, young people are leaving churches by groves. They're leaving the churches because they're not called on and asked to participate. And Chris, I thank you for participating today, and I think you did a great job. Proud of you, buddy. So I'm going to ask the praise and worship team to come forward. And we'll have the last song, and then we'll close with prayer.
If you'll stand with us again, we'll sing together.
The Apostle Paul writes, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all of creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things we can't see, the thrones and rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him, and he existed before anything else. And he holds all of creation together, including that very special young man, Joseph, whom we have read about and heard about many times, and who Chris did a great job at explaining today. So he holds all of creation together. I highlighted that because we need to remember that. And remember what Jesus taught us. And again, the Bible study this morning. If you missed it, come to the next one. It's great in the mornings. Jesus told Jairus, when his daughter, he got the news, his daughter died, he said, remember what he said? Don't be afraid. Who would you fear? Let's sing together. Whom shall I fear?
Underneath my feet, you are my sword and shield. troubles linger still, whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. My strength is in
as Chris said in that message, God is with you during the good times and through the bad times. So remember that and keep God in your heart throughout this week and ask Him each and every day to just lift you up and lift Him up with you, with those around you. As you leave today, please sign the card for Melissa. And as you go out today, don't forget to do that. Again, it was good having you here today. Have a blessed week, and let's bow our heads for a closing prayer. Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for Christopher and Olivia and all the young people who participated at RGF. And Lord, we pray that we would just lift the young people up too, and that we never hold them down. Because they're not the tomorrow, they're today. And today, let's let them be a participant at RGF in everything that they do. And Lord, a special blessing for those in Virginia Beach and in Chesapeake and Norfolk who they lost a brother or father, a friend, a mother, a sister, a friend. Lord, be with the family of the person who killed them, because now they will also go through loss and heartache. Lord, out of all this, may blessings flow through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our risen King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go with God's glory.